Hi, Chief Halton here at Fire Engineering Podcasts, and we are being brought to you by Tenkata Protective Fabrics and their Made for Life podcast hosted by Stuart Perry. The Made for Life podcast unearths the work experiences of real men and women who rely on the protective clothing and equipment to get the job done. From firefighters to industrial workers to military personnel, recent episodes explore the dangers and challenges of wildland firefighting, peer counseling for first responders, and the ins and outs of turnout gear. It's the Made for Life podcast from Tenkata Fabrics. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And thank you for listening to Fire Engineering.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to Blog Talk, Fool's Blog Talk Radio here on Fire Engineering. I'm your host, Robbie Fisher, the Education Chair, Training Trustee with Fool's International. It is Monday, September 27th, Fool's Monday Night Football, Fool's Blog Talk Radio Talk. So it's good to be here. It's been a couple months since we've been on. We had to give up one of our shows. We got some information we're going to talk about, some of the things that's happening in the Fools. And I've got President Ben Flegel. Both of us are working today. How you doing, Ben?
Doing good, Robbie. Doing good.
Good to see you, brother. I've also got Vice President Bob Foss with me today. Bob?
Hey, good afternoon, y'all.
Coming live from home. Where are you at, Bob?
West Virginia.
West Virginia. Awesome.
Sitting on the porch having a little.
Also have the secretary, Dave Dabowski, from the Missouri area, I believe. Dave, if you're with us still. Maybe he's not. I know
I'm with you. I'm sorry all about right. That. No, yeah, things are good. I got the arch back behind me, calling from St. Louis here, and just enjoying a day.
Sweet. And we have the treasurer, Chris Bednarik, coming in from Chicago area. Chris, how are you today?
Good. How's everybody doing?
Great, great. Well, it's good to see you guys all because we haven't been together as a group in a while, and that's one of the topics of tonight's talk. Ben, you want to take it over and lead us down this road?
Yeah, we want to talk tonight about the cancellation of the 2021 Fools Convention that was to be held in Orlando, Florida, and that was supposed to be going on right about now. And that was a difficult decision, and we just want to outline some of the reasons we did it. I encourage the other members of the e-board to chip in to help clarify any of that. But I would like the membership to know that it wasn't a random decision. It was the second cancellation. And I think I said last year, I never anticipated being the first president to cancel a annual convention. But somebody has to be that first president, I suppose. So is me. But, you know, as we approached convention, things were looking real good. And to remind everybody what was going on when this decision was made, Florida suddenly became the hotspot for COVID-19. And the epicenter was including the area we were going to hold convention in. We spent a lot of time with Central Florida just making sure that we weren't overreacting. We allowed them to raise a flag if needed. And early on, I asked Tim Bob to come up with some costs for what it would take to keep them afloat if they had to cancel the convention. So hotel fees and such for contracts falling through. And hoping that we wouldn't have to do that. But the closer we came to September, the worse it was getting. And firefighters in Florida were beginning to be affected. And it suddenly it went from being a debate about whether 50, 75 people going to convention would actually be a threat to the area, or COVID would be a threat to the convention attendees. And it became more discussion about what message were we sending to the fire service within the community. Because different areas of the fire service are struggling a great deal more with COVID than others. And Florida was really under the hot seat at that time. Several well-known firefighters that were not previously ill were falling victim to COVID and dying. And I shouldn't say several, I believe it was two. And these were people that were very close to the Founding Fools. And that got the Founding Fools' attention. And Founding Fool Mike Gilbert is involved in the state management team for distribution of vaccinations. So he had a really good awareness of what the state was actually dealing with versus what information, for example, I could find out all the way up here in Alaska. So we did our homework, and Mike and I began to talk more to just keep Mike aware of what the e-board was thinking. And I think it just became very clear to all of us prior to our final decision at the meeting that what we were looking at was holding a convention and doing our normal, the things that are important to the fools in spite of what was going on in the area. And we didn't want to convey the message that we were not paying attention to that threat. We certainly did not want to give the impression that we were willing to add to the problem, especially with hospitals asking for National Guard help. Just good stewardship of our profession. I began to question whether we should do it. So that's what brought us to that decision that we made at the e-board meeting with Tim Bob present. We had Mike Gilbert and Bart Simpson there. By the time we made it to the meeting, I think everybody was second guessing the decision, at least which way they intended to vote. And especially the Founding Fools, they made it a great effort to be supportive regardless of the decision we were going to make. They did not want to put pressure on us to vote one way or another. So in a vote of 4-1, we did agree to cancel the convention. And being aware of the burden that put on Central Florida, we incurred a debt on their behalf. So it was not a light decision. It wasn't something that we made offhand and said, well, let's move on to 2022 and put that one in the book of failures. That decision cost us significantly. And I'll let Chris speak to that. But I just want to assure the fools across the nation that we are going to go back at it for 2022. We're already talking to a chapter that's interested in hosting, and we have to make some allowances in the articles for that. We have to vote on some exceptions to allow the process to move forward and actually pick a chapter to host. So if there is another chapter out there that has a burning desire to be involved in 2022, we'd want to hear from them soon. And I also just want to remind everybody that the question came up during the meeting. Should we not gather together in spite of COVID to show resiliency? that shouldn't we continue on just as the organization did in the wake of the first 9/11 anniversary and how everybody was still struggling at that time. And we all voted how we chose to vote on the Seaboard. But speaking for myself personally, I felt that we had no other decision we could make because the situation was very different this time around. And we were asking a community of firefighters to accept the idea of us coming in to enjoy our annual convention while they around us were having a very difficult time. And Mike Gilbert pointed out that if we prevented even one member attending from taking COVID back home or from falling victim to it during the convention, we made the right choice. And that was a good point to make. So with that, I'll just leave it. I'm really looking forward to 2022. I want to get this back on the road. I'd like to attend a convention while president. So that would be unique. And we've got some unfinished business to take care of, which we'll, of course, get to further down the road on this podcast. But I just want to pass it to Chris to give kind of a summary of the actions we took to support Central Florida to ensure that they remain solvent at the end of the day.
Sounds good, Chris.
So after we had our meeting, we had the e-board meeting where we made our vote, we had a general idea of where this was going to put the Florida chapters financially and what we might be able to do to help them out. So I went back and forth with them a little bit more once they got some more firm numbers from things like the hotel. The hotel was very helpful in that when they canceled for 2020, they were allowed to roll some of that over into 2021. But then knowing that it will not be coming back in 2022, there were some thousands of dollars that they would have been incurring in cancellation fees. They had already made some orders for things like convention coins, things that had to be done well ahead of time. There were also a lot of registration fees that had to be refunded back to members and significant others. I know we kind of made a little bit of a push at the time that if you were financially able to allow them to hold on to those funds just to help offset some of those costs. And as the e-board, we did that. We had the members of the e-board and the founders who were registered for 2020. We rolled those over to 2021. And then when 2021 is not going to happen, we just allowed the registration fees to roll right into their coffers to help keep them afloat. The decision was made because the international is here to help the chapters. We don't want to see any of the chapters be, for lack of a better way of saying it, put out of business due to some financial struggle where we have the ability to help them out. So without going too far into the weeds with the actual dollars and cents, there's a few things that we had been planning on with the e-board that might be put on hold because of what we did to help them out. And that's fine because this was the need at hand and this is what needed to happen. So if anyone does have any questions, there's no secrets. We're an open book. If you'd like to know any more specifics, feel free to reach out to me, treasure@foolsinternational.com, and I'll get back to you and we'll have the conversation.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, you know, I'll just, I'll turn it over to Bob. Bob, if you have any comments you want to make about the convention cancellation.
No, again, we worked on this and we just discussed this as a board, you know, and it was pretty difficult on all of us. This is my eighth year on the International E-Board. And again, the last two have been pretty difficult, you know, and again, for Ben, pretty tough for a new president to come in and have to deal with two canceled back-to-back conventions due to the COVID. But I think I truly believe in and feel that the board made the right decision. You know, we have a pretty strong board. We get along well. we might have our disagreements on this stuff, but we are all understanding of one another's opinions and sides of this stuff and the importance of doing this right thing. And, you know, we did have that conversation, you know, how could we justify potentially getting a brother's wife or brother's kids infected with COVID with us getting together? You know, we're seeing it a lot. We're still starting to see it. And even in my area, even Ben mentioned earlier that, you know, they're seeing an uptick. We're starting to see that uptick again as well. Yeah. So I think those numbers are going back up. I think a lot of the effects that I'm seeing in the field and my guys are seeing in the field, a lot of them are worse than what we saw round one. So I think we definitely did make the right decision, as difficult as it was and hard as it was for all of us and even the founders. I think ultimately we made the right choice.
Perfect. I know we have Dave Dabowski still in here, and I know he was getting excited hearing that train horn in the background. Dave, you want to talk about your feelings on convention cancellation?
Yeah, I'm the new guy on the e-board. I was the lone let's go ahead and have it vote. But that, to me, that just tells everybody, and it should tell the e-board, and they know how I feel. I'm a very pro convention person. The convention has meant a lot to myself and the members of the Muddy River Fools. But I totally understand, and yes, I was the lone holdout on the vote, but I totally support the decision was, you know, made by the executive board of the Fools International.
Yeah, you know, I think this, you know, we're talking about convention, we're talking about COVID and, you know, the risks that we take, and we can argue, you know, what level of risk we're all taking. But one of the things that I loved about this whole challenge for us as an e-board is that we weren't all on the same page. We had been discussing this. Well, I think we've been discussing this for almost a year because we knew the potential that was coming. We had canceled the first one. It was easy to say, well, we'll cancel it and we'll just move it. And then we got to this point and this became really serious. And so what it showed is that we're not all aligned on our decisions as an e-board. We have good debate. We have good discussion. And then when we get done, we all, you know, support the decision that's being made. So I thought this was a good exercise for us at the expense of a convention, but, you know, well, we're going to have 2022 and we'll make up for it. And I think it was handled very well by our e-board, and I'm proud to be a part of this e-board and everybody that working together. And I think everything was handled kind of well. So
Robbie, I'd like to add a thanks to the founding fools. You might expect them to vote or urge us to do one or the other. I can see them saying, you know, this convention must happen. And I can see them saying the exact opposite because of what they were going through. And they didn't either. They kept us informed, which is what I asked of them, with an idea of what was actually taking place. Versus what we were just hearing on the news or through the stats, but also they were very careful to leave it to us to make our own decision. And I'm just so grateful for that, because that's what leadership should be. And they're continuing to set good examples for us. And I'm just honored that they are so supportive and that we get to represent them as an e-board. So just wanted to add that.
All right. So to kind of wrap the bow around this thing, we are looking for chapters that are interested. We do have a chapter that's currently interested and is looking into it. And there, we got to do some discussion on articles. Got to make an amendment because we're not following our articles 100% because we haven't had a convention in 2 years. So it makes it a little bit difficult to follow things, but that's where we're sitting right now. If another chapter is interested and would like to take on hosting the convention, please reach out to one of the board members, and we'll start having those discussions, right? Perfect. Okay, next topic of business is we haven't been doing nothing. Obviously, we had discussions. We've had discussions on convention. We've lost a brother a few months back, and we'll talk more about that later on in the show. But we haven't been idle, have we been?
Not at all. And I just want to point out that we have Dubo and Chris here with us, and they are the workhorses in this machine. And the memberships have not stopped because of COVID, which means Chris is keeping the books to keep us above board, and also to ensure that we have the funding to help out the chapters like we just did. And also Dave is not only pumping out those membership cards, but Dave spends a great deal of time just shooting the shit with the brothers and sisters that are interested in our organization, and encouraging them to form chapters and getting to know them, helping vet out the people that request affiliation. And it, having been a secretary, having worked side by side with Chris for 4 years, it is a thankless, never ending job. And I just want to say thank you to both of them for, because when the rest of us are saying, well, convention's canceled, let's go back to the drawing board, the two of them never stopped in the first place. And they continue on all the time. So thank you very much for that. So one of the things we've been talking about over the past 2 years since Denver was how to improve communications with the chapters. You can ask Dubo, you can ask Rob, you can talk to Rob Mitchell, who's also an important component in the e-board, and I'm sorry he can't be with us right now, but any one of those three can tell you how on a regular basis, because of their unique positions within the e-board, they're dealing with fielding answers to questions about how to get things done. Presidents change, chapters fold, chapters reform, and then the history of how things run and how we got to where we're at disappears. And we have to re-educate a lot of these chapters. Other chapters are in existence for quite a long time and never need that re-education. And they're very self-sufficient, and they pay their dues effectively and on time, and they generate plenty of training and are really healthy. But a vast majority of the chapters, that's not the case. We are an asset and a resource for those struggling chapters or for the new chapters to help them get focused and get on the road, whether it's designing your logo and making sure you're in compliance with the Articles of Association, whether it's understanding that your personal bylaws have to be folded into the Articles of Association of the International. There's so many different things that a new chapter or a chapter that's coming back to life needs to understand. And that communication does happen very effectively, and yet there are huge gaps. Chapters that have not been in contact with the International for a long time. Chapters that have never made it to convention. Chapters that are struggling to stay afloat and just are not getting the word. There's insurance that each member can have for free for being an active member, for accidental death and dismemberment, something that's very vital to your family. And yet, many members think it's a hoax when they're contacted about it. They don't understand its purpose. All these types of information need to be carried forward. So we have tried podcasts. We've tried the old-fashioned emails. We've tried texting efforts. We've tried, we use Facebook. We have Instagram.
President's meetings.
President's meetings at the convention. President's meeting on Skype. There are times when it's effective. There are times when it's not. And we're looking for a better way to communicate and get the word out from the e-board to the membership. We're not a e-board that is dictating how a chapter is supposed to function within its community, with the exception of the articles, which are very broad. chapters have a lot of autonomy, but there are a few guidelines, and there are things that we need to ensure of in order to remain a viable society. And that's why that communication is important. That's why attending convention is important. So the chapters can have a say, can become informed. So how do we conquer this problem? The modern life and the firefighter type A character makes it very hard to communicate. And one of the ways that we've come up with to try and break down the communication lines, which if you draw a map to the e-board from every chapter in the international, it looks like Alaska Airlines travel path in their magazine, showing all the lines going all over the place. It's like a spider web. But if we were to break it down into a couple regions and establish some representatives, essentially break down our span of control, like any good fire organization should be capable of doing, we might make some headway. So we're looking for some energetic firefighters that are in the know about chapters in the region around them. Someone who's willing to get out there and beat the pavement a little bit to stay in contact with chapters within a given area. And that's the basic concept. We've looked at a few different models. We've kind of focused on the FEMA model for distribution of the nation in Canada. And then we would have to fold in the European chapters to that as well. So we're still looking at about 5 to 7 regional reps if we were to do this. And it's not going to be an easy job. It would require a highly motivated individual to do it. Someone who just excels at those conversations between presidents. Someone who doesn't mind gathering a Zoom meeting together with 5, 7, 10 presidents in their region and doing an informational or question and answer session, or just tending to relationships. So I'm going to leave it with that. I invite conversation from the four of you to kind of highlight what I'm talking about. And Bob, if you could give us a few more details about the job.
Sure. So one of the tasks that I've been tasked with is actually creating the job description for the Articles of Association. And I've been working with Ben, Robbie, and we have another chapter member, Tony Gilliland, who's actually been helping out quite a bit with the development and establishment of this concept. So we're in the process of building that out and trying to work out some kinks and stuff like that to streamline that concept. Again, I think that's actually a concept is a real good idea for these people to take some ownership of that area, you know, and get out there with these chapters and even, you know, go and visiting. A lot of the guys do it traveling and stuff like that. Go in, get together with them, whether it be go into meetings, whether it be go into some local training with them and physically working with them and being on the ground with them. I think the more that we put physically as a board are able to put our hands out there to help the membership, I think it'll be received a lot better. We talk about a little bit and it keeps on coming up, but Jocko's term of decentralizing command. And I think ultimately that's what we as the international e-board are looking to do is get more buy-in from you guys, you know, get you guys more active with the international e-board to have some more ownership in that and understand that, you know, it's just not the handful of us that are running the show. You guys run the show. We just happen to be at the helm and kind of helping direct and guide and keep things in track. And I think this regional rep concept is really going to do that. This has actually been talked about for years and years, but it's just the last 2 years, like Ben mentioned, is we've really taken this by the horns and really have sat down and started to do something with it. We've had conversation with the founders. We have some of their buy-in. Again, it's different. It's a change, you know, and we know how we deal with change and even within our organization or even the fire service in general. So it's going to be a little bit different. There are going to be kinks and there are going to be bumps in the road. But just as in everything else that we've done, you know, even in, you know, dealing with the convention this year, we'll get by them. We'll streamline it. We'll get you guys out a plan, what we were looking at, what we're thinking about, and obviously also open it up for your input. You know, we want the input of the and direction and guidance from the membership on how to build this out and how to make it work best for our organization as we expand. Ben alluded to it a little bit, and it's, again, something that we're working on a little bit as well, is he brought up the concept of reps and possibly in Europe and or Canada. You know, as we build out, and that's something we're working on, you know, what are the requirements to have another region added to our map? And that's something that we're looking at and working on. Is that you, Ben, raising your hand? I see a hand. Someone's raising their hand in
the
top left.
I wanted to add to what you're saying. As a good example of this is the decision we made about the convention. Had we had regional reps to provide us some feedback from the general mood across the international, it would have been very helpful in approaching that decision.
Definitely. So a little bit more on that. October 10th, we do have a meeting planned between myself, President Flegel, Robbie Fisher, and Tony Gilliland. Will actually be our first meeting, Zoom meeting gathering to discuss more of this regional rep concept. And shortly thereafter, we'll be able to bring our information to our next e-board meeting, which we'll be planning after that to discuss our findings and the conversation that we all have to, again, streamline this process and work on getting that out to you. So I would expect for the general membership to see something by the end of October, our discussions and kind of streamlining our thought process and the concept of this regional rep.
Excellent, thanks, Bob. You know, just to kind of add to it, is this really, as it's been mentioned a couple times, is that we've been discussing this for a little bit, and I think it really comes out of a necessity of communication mostly. I think the one thing we haven't tried, Ben, was a carrier pigeon. I know we've done everything else, but hopefully,
that one message I sent by sled dog, I found the dog in the woods later on in the summer. He didn't make it.
He never made it. Yeah. You know, you guys can, what was the flu? Was it the flu vaccine? What was it that the idea rods built off of?
Diphtheria.
There you go.
Yeah.
Diphtheria. So, but no, this is going to be a good thing. We're not rushing it in any way. I mean, because this is something that a number of us have been on the e-board for quite a few years, have been discussing, and it's just finally getting to the point where we're trying to make it real, you know, realize our vision and move forward with it. So it's not a program that we're hurrying through. We're getting to the point now where we can discuss it more and get it out to the masses. And this is really the first that we've, you know, for the most part, have mentioned anything outside of, you know, e-board meetings. So it's good. This is a really good thing. Any more on that? Chris, you want to add anything to it or before we move on?
No, I'm excited. Perfect. Wait and see where it all goes.
Okay. So the one thing we want to talk about today on Fool's Blog Talk Radio is in the past, we've done some, chapter showcases. And this time we're going to showcase one of the chapters, one of the e-board members chapters, a very active chapter, the Muddy River Fools. And so we've got the president, Dave Dabowski, an e-board member with us. I was going to talk a little bit about his chapter. Dave, when did the Muddy River Fools organize?
2006, Rob, and our founding member, Mark Harris, was up at the University of Illinois Champaign. I think Chris is a little bit familiar with that place. And I think he was at the Saving Your Own or Rescuing Your Own class. He saw a couple fellows up there with Southside Fools t-shirts on. And he just got talking to the boys and wanted to learn a little bit about the Fools. And they told him all about it. And he brought it back to the St. Louis area. And that's how we got started.
You know what I really love is that anytime we're talking about chapters, and especially active chapters, it always, and this is for me being the education chair, is it always seems to funnel somewhere around training. And that's how a chapter begins, is they go to some type of training. So it's good to hear that you guys did the same. So you mentioned St. Louis area. So Muddy River Fools covers roughly what area then?
So it's the St. Louis and surrounding areas. When Mark brought the idea back, he brought it back to his department, which is Alton, Illinois. Alton's a suburban St. Louis, a cool old river town, a lot of history. In fact, that's where I'm heading to a little bit for a birthday party. But they wanted to expand it somewhat from the, you know, just the surrounding Alton departments. And Tommy Davison, who you all know, he said, hey, I've got some buddies that work over on the Missouri side. Do you mind if I invite them along? And they said, sure, let's go for it. So they had our first meeting. We had our first meeting in September 2006. And it was at an old Alton firehouse going back to the late 1800s. And cool old place. It's now a little tavern now. And that's how we all got born. But, yeah, it was born out of a training session up in Champaign at U of I. And, you know, we've been going strong ever since. Half our members are from Missouri. The other half from Illinois. And we are divided but united through that muddy river, the Mississippi, that separates Missouri and Illinois.
What's your mascot? You guys have one?
Shaky. I believe Shaky is our official mascot.
It's the Dirty Creek, huh? Is that your mascot?
That's a whole nother story. We don't have enough time for it.
When was your guys' first convention?
Our convention was Orlando, 2010, I believe the year was. We had a phone call from then President Rich Stack, and I still remember his words. Dave, it would behoove you. That's a Chicago term, I guess, Chris. It would behoove you that you and your members come to the Orlando conference for the Fools Convention. We had got put in for the chapter of the year after an incident that happened with the Fools of Oz out in Wichita, Kansas. They were on their way to FDIC in a fire department van. A tire came off of the wheel of a tractor trailer in front of them and then went right through their windshield, and sent several of them to the hospital. They didn't have a van to get up to FDIC. You know, they had guys that had glass in their eyes and all kinds of problems, and they didn't have a way to get up there. So from that incident, we sent guys to the hospital. We went out. It was out in the middle of Missouri. It wasn't even close to St. Louis where it happened. We sent guys to the scene to take care of the brothers, to get them back into St. Louis, made sure they had a place to stay that night. And actually, a couple of our members loaned them their cars to get up to FDIC. And that's kind of why we were put in for the chapter of the year, because of that incident. And I tell you what, man, that phone call with President Stack of it would behoove you to come, it has changed my life because of that one convention and the people I've met since.
And then that led, so you went to 10, and I think you've been to every convention since then, plus you guys have hosted your own convention.
Yeah, and we just got, since convention was canceled this year, we had the time off, so a couple of us had plan B, and none of us had ever been to Boston, so we just got back, in fact, last night from Boston, and we spent most of the time with a couple guys we met at those early conventions. We went to Rich Driscoll, who's a district chief in Hartford, Connecticut, and Dana Potter, who's with Massport. And without convention, we would have never met two of the finest people you ever see in the fire service.
Love it. Love it. So you guys are a really active chapter in the Fools. What would you say is your guys' big thing? What do you guys do? Is it training? Is it charity? Is it?
Boy, that's a good question, because there's so many training entities in the St. Louis area. We don't want to compete with that. We have Engine House Training, which is several of our members belong to. They do great stuff. You know, St. Louis County Fire Academy has a special operations where they have a lot of stuff. University of Missouri, University of Illinois. There's always a lot of great training opportunities. We do one a year. In fact, it's coming up, November 15th, we're going to have Ray McCormack in town. All we do is a one-day seminar every year, and that kind of revolves around the past 6 years we've done that. I don't know. I think it's bringing the brothers together. And I think diversity is our strength because we've always kept about 100 members. We lose a few each year. We gain a few each year. But we've got guys from, you know, urban heavy rescues in the city of St. Louis to volunteer fire chiefs over on the Illinois side. Everybody brings their own little something to the table. And I think that brotherhood of, bringing everybody together under the Muddy River Fools umbrella is our biggest strength. And everybody has something to contribute. We're all learning from each other. This guy knows this guy works here. This guy knows this guy has a piece of equipment. It's just a phone call or text away.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I think is great about the Fools is the networking that you get. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of training that's involved and the brother and sisterhood, but I mean, just the amount of networking you get. There's guys that I've met that, I see somewhere and they know me and I can't remember them, but it's just that connection is great. So
yeah, it's true. We have fun with our chapter. I think that's the key is we have something to offer, whether you're a guy that's in the union or a volunteer. I think that's one of the first things that attracted me to the Fools was it's a non-political organization. We're not dealing with bargaining units or the city council or any of this. We're talking fire trucks, firehouses, fire training, and people would not come to our meetings, I don't believe, if we didn't have that to offer. It's a safe haven. It's a place where you could be a geek, or as some would call us, and just love to talk about the stuff that we love to talk about. We're not geeks. We're just very passionate firefighters who love the fire service. And we have fun with it.
Yeah. And I want to go back because I want to talk about Trevor. And you mentioned you guys like to bring the brotherhood together. A few months ago, we lost a really close brother. And I'll let you take it from there. I don't want to step on anything. So go ahead.
Yeah, Trevor was a guy that was a member of the Muddy River Fools, had battled cancer, firefighter-related cancer. And we lost him this past April. I spoke on him down at Command Officer Boot Camp this year in Pensacola Beach, which was a couple weeks after Trevor's death. Chief Isaacson gave me the opportunity, and I'll kind of share with the audience what I shared with them is, it's easy to be in the Fools if you're a guy that loves the job and just has that passion and things are going well. Man, you just fit right in. Trevor wasn't at that stage. Yes, he loved the fire service, but he was at a bad place at his department. And we know many of brothers and sisters out there that are in a bad place in their department, but he came looking for something. And he came to the Muddy River Fools and he found it. And he saw a room full of guys that had the same passion for the job as he did. And it's a sacred place at our meetings where we can talk, like I just talked about. We can talk about stuff and not have to worry about anybody laughing at us or making fun of us. And Trevor found that with the Muddy River Fools. And he got involved and he started coming to the conventions and meeting all of you guys. And then luckily, just after that, he was able to leave his department and went to his dream job up in the Champaign, Illinois Fire Department. And it was quite a journey. And looking back, it was so such an honor for myself and our members to have Trevor in our chapter and is in a short time, with us before he passed away from cancer.
And he left behind a wife and two kids and you guys have been very active in taking care of them and helping them out wherever you can. And we had some brothers had a brother from Puget Sound come over and a coin was made, and you guys have that on your Facebook page as well, right?
Right, right. Brian Root from up at Puget Sound designed the coin. It's beautiful. They're still for sale on the Muddy River Fools site. But, I don't want to, he was one of us. He was in our own backyard. That's what we do. But I think about the guys who journeyed for the funeral or to visit with Trevor. Before he passed, I believe at the funeral, we had members from 15 chapters, journey to St. Louis, everywhere from Treasure Coast in Florida, all the way across the country to Puget Sound. We had brothers that flew in for 8 hours and stood vigil overnight. They flew in, they stood vigil for 6 hours, jumped back on the plane and left again. To me, as president of the Muddy River Fools, it was just overwhelming for the support that our members received from members from all across the country that traveled to Missouri and Illinois here, and just incredible. And wouldn't have happened without the Fools.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Trevor was great. He had left an impact on many of us, of course, and we still somewhat stay connected with Tiffany, his wife, and I don't want to say she's doing well, but she's moving through life, and she's got a bumpy road ahead of her, but she's doing okay. But I don't want to necessarily end this off on a somber note, but any last positive things from either Trevor or from Muddy River Fools before we close out?
You know, Tiffany's going to survive. That's what she has to do. Her two kids are her priority right now. I guess the latest things to happen was this class of the St. Louis County Fire Academy that just started last week is being named in honor of Trevor. We had Sammy Vega from Calumet City, Illinois, who's a good friend of Trevor's from University of Illinois. He traveled down here to St. Louis, and himself, me and Shaky had the honor of addressing the St. Louis County recruit class on day one and sharing with them who Trevor was and what Trevor was about and how they should lead themselves as their journey begins in the fire service to be like Trevor. And each one of the recruits was given one of the coins, the challenge coins that has Trevor's face on it. And we asked them to carry that with them throughout their academy and throughout their career. And that was a very poignant moment. And then shortly after that, a few days later, Tiffany and the kids made a journey out to the fire academy to have the official class photo taken. And it was beautiful to see Tiffany and the kids there with the recruit class named in Trevor's honor. Trevor's gone in a humanly body. You know, I won't get too deep here, but we all know he's with us, and we all need to live a little bit more like Trevor and just love the job, man. That's what he did, and if we continue to love the job as he did, we will definitely honor Trevor.
Excellent. Well, we'll just end the show off with that. I appreciate your time and everybody on the e-board and everything that we've talked about. I appreciate everybody's time, and brothers and sisters, thanks for joining Blog Talk Radio on Fire Engineering, and we hope to catch you some training thing soon.